ようこそどうぞ、はじめまして。
Hello everyone, welcome to the Glorio Chat, possibly the best anime podcast on the internet. Anybody? Maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know of any other anime podcasts.
Well, so. I mean, Anne has their own podcast, so I guess that depends on whether or not we think we're better than Anne.
I don't think there's any way to actually verify that statement, so legally we're good. But yeah, it's good to be back for episode 2. I know I enjoyed doing the last one, as I'm sure you guys did too. And we have another interesting topic lined up for today. It's something we're going to call origin stories. Basically, how did you get into anime? And I've been wanting to do this topic for a while. We've been kicking it around. And I just thought it'd be good to let the readers get to know us a little better, where we're coming from, our perspective when we're writing our posts. And on top of the how did you get into anime question, I also wanted to touch on a bit on what we think would be good for new potential anime fans to watch now in 2015, which might be a little different than maybe the point from where we got into it. So so returning with us today, I have Iroh.
Hello.
And also Marlon.
Yo.
We've got both of you guys back. And as far as this topic goes, it is something I wanted to talk with everybody about, you know, maybe make the rounds onto the podcast. But I wanted to start with you guys because I think a lot of our readers will be able to relate to your experience getting into anime. I know if you look at our stats, most of our readers are American, and yep. I don't have any stats on the age, but I'm assuming a lot of them are in that same 18 to 25 demographic. So when you put those two together, I'll just go ahead and put on my old man hat and call that the Toonami generation.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Which is probably a lot of what we're going to get into. So yeah, I'm going to turn it over to you guys, and I guess we'll start by asking the first question. What's the first anime you ever watched? And maybe we'll start with Marlon.
And it's hard to think. I have to say it's probably Dragon Ball. Because I just have this vague memory of being at a friend's house because my family didn't have cable. So like that was the only way I could ever watch Toonami. And just seeing the you know, when Goku turns into a Super Saiyan. I didn't even watch that show like in sequence when I was at my friend's house.
So we're talking Dragon Ball Z and not like the original Goku as a kid series.
Oh, yeah, Dragon Ball Z.
I guess that did air first, right, in America at least?
Yeah, Z was first, and then they released Dragon Ball on Toonami later.
Right, right. So you actually didn't have TV at that point. How old are we talking?
This was probably when I was like 7 or 8. Like, at the time, the only anime I really watched were the anime probably every kid our age watched. You know, Pokemon, Digimon, anything that came out of Kids WB or something like that. I'm sure Iroh knows what I'm talking about.
Anything dubbed by 4Kids.
Yes, definitely.
I do remember those. But was the Pokemon and all that before or after the Dragon Ball?
That's the thing. I feel like Dragon Ball came before, but I didn't really get into anime until Pokemon and Digimon. Like, that was the first time I really watched those cartoons serially. Like, Dragon Ball would just be, you know, we would play outside and then come inside every once in a while when it got too hot. And then, hey, Dragon Ball's on.
Right. I wondered, would we count shows like Pokemon and Digimon in this conversation?
That's what I was thinking, because, like, honestly, I don't know if you can really consider Pokemon or Digimon anime in the same way Dragon Ball Z was.
Like, where do you draw the line on that, I guess? It's an interesting question.
Yeah, because, like, they're obviously, they are anime, but they have such a different, like, cultural, you know, significance. Like, almost everyone watched Pokemon, and to a lesser extent, Digimon. You know, you wouldn't get the stigma that people that watched anime in the 90s and early 2000s would have had.
Right. I guess Pokemon and would be more of like a mass appeal kind of thing. Although, I mean, you could say the same thing about Dragon Ball to a certain extent, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Dragon Ball is definitely like, if you say you watch Dragon Ball, no one's going to say, oh man, you're such a nerd. But it's definitely getting there, you know, like, from Dragon Ball, that's like your gateway anime for little kids.
Starting to move in that direction.
Yeah.
So what about you, Iroh? Where did you start your anime journey?
My story is probably remarkably similar. I watched a lot of Pokemon and stuff on television. But I had a ton of Dragon Ball Z VHS tapes. So, like, I'd watch it through those. Like, I had a compilation that was the whole, like, first fight against Raditz and stuff. And I had a bunch from, like, Frieza Saga. But, like, I could only watch those, or if I was at a friend's house, or a Spanish language television. So, like, occasionally I would turn on, like, Channel 18 or something, and it's Spanish Dragon Ball Z, and it was uncut. There was, like, blood.
All right, you have to tell me, what does Goku sound like in Spanish? Does he have the little kid voice, or does he have the man voice?
So long. Man voice.
Okay, he does, okay. Because that's so the big,
That is the stupidest thing about Dragon Ball in Japan.
Yeah, just keep the same actress. But, yeah, and then, like, all the 4Kids stuff, like Ultimate Muscle and Fighting Futons.
See, now those I do not remember. What
those
was...
are ones that even I didn't watch. Like, I think those were Fox anime, right?
Probably, yeah. When Fox became 4Kids.tv, because yeah. All of their shows were 4Kids.
Right, yeah, because, like, the only thing I ever watched on Fox was, like, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and like, Animaniacs and X-Men. Like, I watched all the really popular Western cartoons and stuff. Not really a whole lot of anime.
But, if we're talking about, like, anime, we're watching stuff in, like, subs and stuff. My story is, like, this is a local GameStop is trying to sell, like, Shonen Jump magazines for some reason. Like, I guess
I kind of remember that, actually. They don't still do that, right?
Hmm?
They don't still do that, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But at the time, they were trying to sell Shonen Jump. Like, this was before it kind of took off here, like, really early on. But they couldn't sell these magazines, so the manager's just like, you want to take these off our hands?
Nice.
So he did, and it was all like Dragon Ball and Yu Yu Hakusho and stuff that I knew about, but then there was Naruto, and I was like, this is cool, it's about ninjas. What's this? And so I just went down the rabbit hole and watched a ton of Naruto on YouTube in, like, crap quality, where every video is chopped into three parts.
Oh, God, yes. Before YouTube.
You remember those days?
When YouTube had the 10-minute limit on YouTube.
Yeah. I have a similar story, but I feel like that's too far in the future for me to tell that right away.
So, just rewinding it a little bit, like, you said you had, like, the Dragon Ball tapes. Like, how did you even... Like, what inspired you to get a hold of the... Because I'm assuming you mean, like, the bootleg ones.
No, they were, like, the official ones.
Okay, the official.
So, like, at the start of them, they'd have commercials for, like, Nadia Blue Water and Yu Yu Hakusho. So that's how I got into Yu Yu Hakusho.
Okay.
But, like, I went to my friend's house once, and he had a VHS tape of first time Goku went Super Saiyan. And... then I was like, kept bugging my parents, we gotta get more Dragon Ball tapes. Because even before that, we had the one that I mentioned, that was the Raditz fight. And yeah. We had a bunch of the movies, like Tree of Might and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, those first couple of movies are great. Sure. Maybe I'm going back too far then, because I remember when I got into Dragon Ball was right about, like, when they, like, originally aired with the horrible, horrible dub.
Yeah.
The Frothy Mugs of Water dub, which is a whole nother story unto itself. But, no, but I remember, I, you know, they'd only have, like, you know, like, 12 episodes on TV or something like that, and they didn't have any official releases yet, and there was like a shady Asian import shop at my local mall that had like all kinds of anime bootlegs on like terrible quality, like 100th generation VHS tapes. So for like, you know, dirt cheap. So me and my friends all loaded up on a couple of those, and we were so cool because we knew what would happen next in Dragon Ball, because we had already seen well past where the TV show was. But yeah, so I when I hear VHS, I always kind of associate it with the bootlegs. But so you're
I never even thought about that, really. Like, when I was a kid, like getting a VHS tape with anime, because for me, TV shows were always just like their own thing, and I never even thought about the idea that you could get them in a physical format,
you know? And watch them whenever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ira, did you have the cool one that had like the picture on the side of the box?
Got the picture on the side.
When you put them all together,
line up all the, and you get the picture of Frieza.
That's cool.
I do remember that. That was pretty rad. But yeah, so Dragon Ball, definitely, I think, a big gateway for a lot of people. I know
Naruto.
And yeah. So then you got into Naruto, and that was the that was starting to get a little.
That was your first mistake.
Yeah.
I was in junior high once.
Yeah, I'd have to say, like, getting that was when I started anime, but I didn't really get into anime until I got cable. Like you said, the Toonami generation, and like I didn't get cable until around the year 2000. And I'd have to say, like, probably the show that made me want to watch anime the most was G Gundam. Because, like, when you're a 10-year-old kid and you watch this show about a guy that just, like, shouts a lot and, like, blows up robots, there's definitely an appeal there, I think.
Did they actually air G Gundam on TV?
Yeah, it was on Toonami.
Okay, see, because, like, I didn't really watch Toonami, so I'm deferring to you guys on that, but, huh.
That's, it was the second Gundam to be aired.
Gundam Wing was first, right?
Yes.
I remember.
Gundam Wing comes after G Gundam.
I remember Gundam Wing airing because I did watch that. But
yeah, that was before I got cable.
I think I went into my hipster too cool for cartoons phase after that. But
by the time I got Toonami, they weren't showing as much anime on it. It was like Yu Yu Hakusho, Dragon Ball, and then like Teen Titans and Justice League.
Oh, man. Those were bad years. Because, like, the beginning of Toonami was great. It's like, Dragon Ball. It was not the beginning, obviously, because I was watching it in the year 2000. But, like, at that time, that was probably the heyday. Because, G Gundam, Dragon Ball, Yu Yu Hakusho. I think, for some reason, I think they had Hamtaro on at the time. And that was one of those shows where I always make, like, as a boy growing up, you're usually, like, pressured to not like girly things, and to me, Hamtaro was always kind of a girly thing, so I, like, made sure no one was home when I watched it. It's kind of the same with the Powerpuff Girls.
If only the you then would be able to see some of the shows we watch now.
I just remember some late night premiering block, and I don't even remember what channel it was, but the block was called Made in Japan, and, they had Knights of the Zodiac, which I know now to be Saint Seiya. But
oh, yeah. They played that on Toonami, too, at one point.
Forever, I did not know Knights of the Zodiac was Saint Seiya until, like, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That, like, ridiculous English rock song as the opening.
Mm-hmm. I have never seen a single episode of that. I know it's, like, super popular in a lot of...
It was super shonen. Areas. It was kind of like a tournament, right? Or something like that, and they would just keep beating up people, like, each week. If it's the same Saint Seiya, because I know there's multiple of them.
I don't know, man.
It's just dudes, and I just know, it has that distinct look of the dudes in armor with the swords and the wings on their helmets and wings all over the place, right? But,
yeah.
Sure. So that.
So while Iroh's rabbit hole was Naruto, like, I watched Naruto. It was okay, I just didn't really get the, like, I didn't follow it fervently. The big thing for me was Inuyasha. That's probably like my greatest shame.
See, I looked down on the people who liked Inuyasha.
Because, like, I think even back then, I liked sappy romance stories, so Inuyasha kind of had that and a guy kicking ass, so I could justify watching it. And that was when I kind of got into Adult Swim in general, you know, like watching Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, Big O.
Yeah, Adult Swim, I remember, because I think that came first, right? Before Toonami?
No, I think Toonami was first.
I'm actually not sure.
I never 1995, and I'm pretty sure Adult Swim is younger than that.
I never stayed up to watch Adult Swim.
Adult Swim was definitely a much different animal back in those days, though, because like it was all syndicated programming. Like, you know, William Street didn't really exist yet, so it was all either anime or like. At the time, they didn't really have much else other than anime.
Yeah.
Like, I would remember like sneaking into a room, because like at the time, I was kind of ashamed of watching anime, because for some reason I had gotten into my head that it was like something that people looked down on. So I would always just go into my room, and there was this, or like a tiny 8-inch screen white TV that I would tune into like Adult Swim late at night for watching like Evangelion or Case Closed. Because also it was past my bedtime, and my parents really kept a strict bedtime, even when I was like 15.
Mm-hmm.
Those were my days of just like being a total nerd, because that was also around the time that I joined a fan fiction site devoted to Gundam Wing, actually.
Oh yes, I remember this.
Yeah, I only really got into it for the Inuyasha fan fiction, but also basically to roleplay, kind of like what you did with that.
Okay, we're gonna get into my dark days of forum roleplay for Naruto and Bleach.
Into everything.
Oh my god. Those were truly dark days.
Yeah.
They're still like archived.
I might as well tell you guys now, this is actually an intervention.
You know what? Screw you.
Oh,
man. I'm getting out of here.
So I looked it up. Adult Swim was actually 2001, so you're correct. That was a little bit later. But I remember watching that when it came out, and but by then I was also an adult, so
right.
Yeah, but I remember watching, you know, Cowboy Bebop, and when Inuyasha came on, I turned off the TV.
Guys, I was like 12 or 13. Give me a break.
You each went down your respective rabbit holes. I am not going to say one is better than the other, but So to recap, you both got Dragon Ball on there, and then on Iroh's side, you're going down into the Naruto rabbit hole, and Marlon's on the Inuyasha side, so you can both be forever judged for that. But so another interesting question I have on that, what appealed to you about those shows? Was there like anything different about anime compared to some of the, like, you know, Marlon mentioned some of the Western cartoons or other shows on TV?
Well, the thing is, like, I watched both. I guess you could say, like, I was a real couch potato back in those days. I would watch, you know, I would watch Toonami until Toonami was over, and then I would watch Nickelodeon. And just waste my time with that for the most part. But I guess what really appealed to me about anime was the action. Because, you know, so much of Toonami's stuff was shonen or some kind of really, you know, action-based show. And that's something you didn't really get except for certain types of Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network shows like Samurai Jack, which itself is pretty anime-based.
Right. Like Spider-Man or X-Men or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, there just weren't many action shows on television except for anime. Like, I'd rather watch Fighting Foodons, as stupid as it is, with food fighting each other, than watch, like, non-action cartoons. Do you remember that Louis Armstrong cartoon?
Wait, what?
What?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, then there you go. That makes my point.
Yeah, I was more like a Fairly Odd Parents, you know, Frederator kind of guy, as far as my Western cartoons.
Yeah, the reason why I find that question interesting is because, you know, you guys were getting into anime in a time where people kind of already knew what anime was.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, going back to my ancient history, you know, I first started hearing about anime like as the rest of America was kind of first hearing about it. And
you mean you watched Speed Racer?
Well, I should say that term specifically.
Right, right.
You know, obviously, you know, anime has been around in America since like the 60s, but
I believe you mean Japanimation.
Yeah, but back then it was, you know, I remember even as a kid calling it Japanese animation. I never said Japanimation because even back then I knew, that was just not cool. But yeah, I mean, I know for me, if I can interject my story for a little bit, one of the first, I guess, legitimate anime that I watched as a kid was Robotech, which, as when it first came out, I was very little, so I barely remembered any of it. But I about maybe 10 years later, I had an older friend that had like an art book about it, and it was pretty interesting because aside from like the actual art, you know, it has like all the concept art and stuff like that, it had a episode synopsis of like every single episode, and I just like ate that up. And one of the things that just stood out as completely different to me is the fact that with anime you actually have like storylines that have beginning and an end,
right?
Whereas, you know, most Western television is designed to last as long as possible because you want to make as much money out of it as possible. Or, you know, with kid shows, in their case, sell as many toys as possible. But yeah, I know that for me, that kind of stood out to me right away as something kind of different and kind of piqued my interest. Because at this point, you know, you're talking mid-90s or so. Yes, I am. For all you readers out there who have not been following me up to this point, I am the resident old man here. physically speaking, Iroh is our metaphysical old man. But that's another. I mean that in the best way possible. But yeah, I mean, it kind of opened up my mind to this kind of completely different concept of animation as something more than just, you know, kid stuff. And that kind of led into the, you know, my rabbit hole in the 90s of when anime was cool and dangerous and, you know, not for kids, you know, you know, that's when, you had Akira and Ghost in the Shell and all that stuff hit. But, so yeah, it's just kind of interesting to hear your guys' perspective of it. 'Cause you're kind of coming up into an age where, you know, people kind of already knew what anime was. I think, like Marlon, you said it was almost like not cool.
Yeah, and, well, that is definitely like the way I felt during high school. Is like I even remember I was almost like kind of friends with a girl who like drew her own manga and stuff like that. And I just remembered thinking like, man, we are such total nerds. like she was probably the first. Like I would say she's the first Fujoshi I ever knew in my life. And maybe that's where I got some of my love of sappy romance stuff.
Right.
So,
but I always... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, like my junior high school was like 40% Asian. So a lot of people watched anime and they would like talk about it in locker rooms and stuff.
Huh. Yeah, that's...
So Frift. But then, like, I would mishear because I wasn't paying attention. So I thought Colonel Mustang in Fullmetal Alchemist was Colonel Mustard for about 4 or 5 years.
Clue the anime. Yeah. Colonel Mustard and,
Clue the arrow guy.
Mustard Sensei.
I was always super interested about, like, how people got into anime, like, before Toonami, because it just made things so accessible, and I, you know, like you said, there'd be, you know, bootleg VHS tapes you have to get, and, like, how you even get into watching bootleg VHS tapes, it seems like an interesting journey.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like, it was, like, cool and underground for a while there, until, you know, in the pre-Toonami days, where you had to, you know somebody who knew somebody to even, you know that it existed.
So what you're saying is it's our fault.
Yes, you same kids.
Ruined anime.
You damn kids, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn first.
No, but, oh, well, that, you had that, and either you had to know, you know, somebody at school would be talking about it, or, because, you know, as you're, you know, a 13 or 14-year-old kid, you know, if anything with sex and violence in it is super cool. But, or you'd see it in the, I remember the first time seeing anime in the video store, the video rental store, like seeing like Akira and Ghost in the Shell and all that in there, which I was too young for my parents to let me actually rent them at that point, but I had older friends. So, so yeah, it was, it's just interesting to me how that kind of changed. I think now, if you look at now, it's almost kind of, it's not looping about, like, anime is never going to be cool again, but it's definitely more, I feel like it's a little more acceptable in some ways. Like, you can see, when I was walking by Hot Topic at the mall, and they had, you know, Black Butler and Free shirts.
Right.
In the window, and I'm like, what is this world I live in?
I definitely think girls are propping up a lot of, like, the American anime scene.
Yeah, it's kind of shifting that way, which is cool. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's interesting that it's a little more, I think,
back in my day, Hot Topic only had Dragon Ball.
Also, I think, like, the increase in acceptance for, like, you know, comic book nerd fandom, I think it's just kind of opened the door for fan, like, being a nerd being acceptable
that
for
generation
all sorts of
has
things.
Grown up now.
Definitely. Yeah, it's in just in general, being a nerd is, I'm still not going to say cool, but it's like, oh, it's acceptable.
Yeah. Like, you'd be weird to not know who Spider-Man is or not have seen a Marvel movie in the past 2 years.
Right.
Like something like that.
And yeah, what is this world we live in?
That's it. Break down the end the podcast, and we're going to talk about end the podcast, and we're going to talk about how horrible Avengers 2 was. But
yeah, we live in a world where kids like to dress up like Kirito. We can't do anything to stop it.
Yeah, like, I saw that one day, like a year ago or whatever. I just saw a bunch of girls dressed up as every version of Asuna at the mall for no reason.
Oh, really?
There was no...
Wait. Oh, that's right. You told me about this.
Yeah, there was no there was no, like, event or any reason for them to be dressed up. It was two girls. One was in the fairy one. I don't remember what you call it.
ALO or whatever.
Blue Asuna.
The one where she's in the cage.
Right, right.
And she's got that dress on or whatever before she gets molested by the cartoon. Oh, God, let's not get into that. there was that one, and then whatever the blue hair one. It was like Titania or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were both dressed up as that, and they were running around with a guy dressed as Naruto in the mall. It was pretty amazing, and that there was just, like, no... absolutely no reason for them to do that. They were just hanging out at the mall in their cosplay.
That's pretty great, honestly, to be able to openly like talk about it, because, like, growing up, I never really had, like, I knew that one girl, but we didn't really talk outside of, like, our one English class we had together, and my friends they were all kind of like, oh, anime's gay kind of people. Or like anime's for even bigger dorks than we were. And we were the kind of people that played like Smash Brothers for 4 hours a day. Yeah. And it really, like, I never knew the idea of like fandom until I got into college. Because I just watched anime by myself, and it was just this thing I did by myself. And I didn't even think about the idea of it in a social context.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people were that way. I know myself, I didn't really, I've had one or two friends that were into it or whatever, but, I didn't really get in touch with the community until, I ran into you guys at, Japanator and all that, but that's,
good old days.
Yeah. The good old days. But, yeah, so, I think probably a lot of our readers probably experienced a similar pathway to get to where we are now, going down one of those various rabbit holes. Mm-hmm. But the other question I wanted to talk about on this particular podcast was what you would recommend would be a good anime to watch for somebody now in 2015, if you wanted to hook somebody and bring them out into this horrible, horrible world that we live in here.
Never escape.
Yeah, that we will never, ever escape.
I still say to this day that, like, for a litmus test on whether or not they'll be able to accept other anime, Azumanga Daioh. Like, bar none. Because it's just...
Ugh.
To me, it's a little more accessible because it's not, like... Certain action shows can really kind of turn people off because not everyone is into action, but Azumanga Daioh is just a comedy, and for one, the comedy I'd say is pretty funny. I mean, obviously Yiro has some different thoughts about that, but also that there's some weird stuff that happens in Azumanga Daioh, and in order to accept that, you kind of are ready to accept some of the other even weirder things that happen in other anime.
Yeah, except Norio Wakamoto jumping in the window.
Yes.
Exactly. Horrible cat monster.
If not that, then I'd say Cowboy Bebop. Because, I mean...
easy answer.
Yeah, that's the easy answer.
Cowboy Bebop it still holds up pretty well. I've always kind of thought Cowboy Bebop is a little overrated, but it's not... I mean, I still think it's great, but, it gets kind of put on a pedestal that...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really like it. And I think, its Western influences definitely make it easier for your average person to just say, oh, this is just, a cool space. Well, not even like space, because it's like more of a, what would you call it? Like a revenge flick.
Yeah, there's
set in space.
Definitely some of that. And it's been a long time since I've watched that, though. I will say that.
Like, I was living with a couple of people that I was working with, and I didn't, I told them that I like anime, and they were like, what would you watch? And I was like, oh, I got this, I got these DVDs of Cowboy Bebop, and we watched through the whole thing, and, they really connected with it. Because I still think it's got a really good story, and just absolutely fantastic ending.
I think the what makes it accessible is that it's very Western.
Yeah.
Shooting people, and
you see
no giant robots.
You hit them with Cowboy Bebop, and then you bring in Azumanga Daioh.
The opposite.
Yes, basically.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the Azumanga Daioh goes, I say you could just show them better and have them watch Nichijou. But I'm gonna not touch that one, as Marlin and the rest of the Glorio crew would probably come and murder me. But
probably,
yeah. I guess the challenge is finding something that balances out kind of a mix of what would be familiar versus what anime actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could show them an anime with a ton of Western influences, or that it goes by, you know, it has its own style or something.
You can't just whip out Panty and Stocking.
Right.
Well, nobody should ever watch Panty and Stocking.
Mine's the shrink wrap.
But do you actually own that, Marlon?
Well, remember, I won it from that Japanator contest.
Oh, that's right.
Because we're actually good writers.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not mudsling too much on this podcast.
I'm joking.
Yeah, but just kind of finding the balance of something familiar, but then also that is going to give them a preview of this is what you're getting yourself into. And I think Cowboy Bebop's, you know, stood the test of time, because it's probably a good example of that. But
yeah, if I were trying to get somebody in anime, it probably depend on how old they are. Like kids, I'd show, true. You know, like Pokemon or something. Maybe it's just my bias, but those like dumb animal shows, Pokemon, they're like, they're pets that they say their own names and they throw fire.
Yeah.
It's good and for like children. Them. Right.
Or show them Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Z.
I guess. But yeah, for like edgy teens, I guess, who are all getting into Attack on Titan and Sword Online and such, like those are actually probably pretty good gateway series for dumb teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as our refined anime palettes may not care for those particular shows, they definitely have a mass appeal to that kind of...
I still really like the first season of Attack on Titan.
I mean, I really liked the first two episodes Sword Online.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's not fair to lump those two together in terms of...
Yeah, if we're going to go down that road...
I'm just now remembering I did actually watch Sword Art Online, and I'm trying to remind myself...
I told you not to. I warned you.
I tried to remind myself why I did that.
Because no one listens to Eero.
Yeah, no one ever questioned the dedication to my craft at the Glorio blog. Yeah. That's all I'm gonna say.
I mean, you're watching Plastic Memories. That's gotta say something.
I would rather watch Plastic Memories than watch Sword Art Online, but that's
yeah, probably
because Plastic Memories isn't really bad. It just it doesn't have a single original idea. Yeah. In its body, and I mean it carries out what it's doing okay, but anyway, that's another topic altogether.
Like, what about someone our age, Eero? Like, who would you show, you know, like a friend if you were trying to get him into anime?
I would probably show him on Gurren Lagann, something like that.
Oh yeah, that's a pretty good choice.
Like, I feel like Gurren Lagann's got universe themes, it's got giant robots, it's got fan service, it's a good, like, primer for what anime is nowadays, I guess. Well, okay, nowadays, not so much giant robots.
Yeah, not so much nowadays, but it definitely shows, you know, like, you know, the fights and stuff like that are definitely part of what anime is all about.
Yeah, I think, I just feel like those Gainax classics are very much what anime is. Mm-hmm. both good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you want to call it. And I haven't really thought about this beforehand, but would Gurren Lagann be the most accessible of the Gainax classics?
Yes. Cuz like, I mean, everyone talks of Fooly Cooly. I like Fooly Cooly, but that's my show that I think is way overrated.
You need to be a certain age to, I think, have that really hit you.
Yeah.
With Fooly Cooly, well, Fooly Cooly is my personal favorite anime of all time, but I don't know if I would, that wouldn't really be a lot of people say that's a good gateway, and I don't know about that. I think
it's a little too weird, I think.
Yeah. It's a very dense, weird... Kind of, you have to watch it 3 or 4 times to get what's happening, kind of thing. I think with Gurren Lagann, like Ira said, you've got the the easy universal themes. It's still, I mean, it's still a great story, but it's a
simple story.
It's a simple story.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's probably a good one.
Yeah. Although I also thought for, like, if you want to get into, like, high school anime, what got me into that was, like, Haruhi. Which is also probably good for teenagers who think they're, like, young.
As far as high school anime goes, I guess mine would be Toradora. Like, that was the first show I ever watched subbed, actually. That was the thing where I would go to YouTube to watch 10-minute videos of Toradora every week. Because, yeah, there was this one guy that would upload them every Friday, and I would. Yeah. I was just this total shut-in nerd the first year of my college career, and so I'd just be watching Toradora being... Like, that's definitely where I fell down the rabbit hole as far as romance shows go. Because I liked romance shows, but that's definitely the first, like, pure romance I liked.
I think Toradora is a good one. The only thing, and because I have actually watched that with people that are not necessarily anime fans, and the one thing I always push, they always push back on is Taiga looks like she's 9 years old.
Yep.
I guess that just didn't really matter to me, because I took it on faith that she was 14.
Jelly, you said this was intervention, right?
Well, she's supposed to be like 16 or 17, isn't it? Aren't they like seniors or whatever?
Right, yeah, because they're...
But not that that makes a huge difference, but... yeah, and it's not necessarily that that's a deal breaker, but that's like everyone that watches... And I've watched it with a couple people, and they're like, yeah, it's kind of weird.
It may help that, like, first year of college, there was a girl in my dorm, like, in the girl's side of the dorm, that really was, like, 4.5 feet tall. So, like, I gave them the benefit of the doubt because of that. I don't know.
I think I've mentioned before, there's a girl that works at the Japanese restaurant at the mall. Again, I see weird things at my mall. that is exactly what I imagine Taiga would look like in real life. Hmm. But where she's like 4 feet tall and probably weighs 75 pounds. And yeah. But yeah, I think in that case, I think I would give the edge to Haruhi, if only because it's got the science fiction supernatural element to it.
It's got a bit of the wish fulfillment stuff to it too.
Yeah, it's probably a little more indicative of what anime is in the 2010s.
Yeah.
Although I guess that was not 2010s. That was what, like 2009 or something, or maybe the first
The original Haruhi. Right. I thought that was like 2007.
Maybe 2007. Yeah. Then yeah,
season two was like 2009. Yeah, I remember watching that in high school.
Like Haruhi was the precursor. Like it got popular and then. I'm imagining
open floodgates for light novels.
Yeah, like everyone just started writing light novels, and then finally, around like 2010, is when they started adapting them all.
Yeah, yeah. I did not know what a light novel was before Haruhi, so
yeah.
Thanks, Haruhi.
Thanks, Haruhi.
Because of you, I had to watch Unlimited Fafnir.
Testament of New Sister Devil.
Because of Haruhi, we've had to do a lot of things we hate, like watch anime.
Like, watch the disappearance of Nagato Yuki-chan. Low blow. Yeah, we were talking about, and I really didn't prepare for answering this question because, you know, I figured I'd let you guys answer. But the first thing that came to my mind as far as, like, kind of the early teen set, if you want to start them early, was Nobuna Gun. And again, did I miss a syllable in there somewhere?
No, you said it like, but you said it in a very interesting way.
I have to say that was the first time I've ever said that word out loud. So I was. I have never thought about how to actually say that.
Nobunaga.
Okay, yes. Great. But yeah, I guess maybe that's going back onto my when you're 13 or 14, anything with sex and violence is cool. And it's not too much sex and violence, but there's, I don't know.
There's definitely some violence.
It definitely appealed to my inner 14-year-old watching it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
just mindless, and it's so fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was kind of mindless in one sense, but it was well thought out mindlessness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like Fate.
Like, it wasn't really, well, I don't know about that, but.
It's a show that makes you feel smart when they're throwing out, like, historical figures and stuff.
Yeah, it felt like they put some thought into what they were doing, and it wasn't really too insulting to your intelligence, even though it seemed like it on the surface, but. Anyways. Yeah, so there you have it. Watch the old shows. There's nothing good.
New. Yeah, everything sucks nowadays.
Is there anything after 2010?
Durarara?
Because,
I mean,
that's cheating. Season 1 came out before 2010, right?
No.
Or was it on 2010?
That was 2000, like, yeah, that was 2010 for sure.
Man, alright.
What about,
maybe Steins Gate?
Yeah, Steins Gate. Steins
Gate
opens
you up
could be a good one.
Otaku culture and all that.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I mean, it is still just a kind of a science fiction time travel story, kind of conspiracy theory thing going, which.
Like, my mind drifts towards, like, the fantasy stuff that's been recently, like Bahamut or Garo. Which
right.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the only thing with those is they're not really that.
They're not really anime.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, not really.
They might.
Thanks, Mappa.
You might watch Bahamut and be like, this is awesome, and then go to watch Unlimited Fafnir. And. What have I gotten myself into?
Just like I'm basically the anime critic. Or like word of God for my friends. So whenever they watch a new show, they're like, "Oh, hey, are you watching this?" And I'm like, you know, either okay, yeah, that's cool, or no, it's terrible. Stop watching it.
Yeah, I get that every now and then. I had somebody ask me, "Hey, somebody said I should watch Sword Art Online." I'm like, I said, "You should never talk to them again."
I was too late for my friends. Like, I have a married couple I know, and they both watched all of Sword Art Online and apparently really loved it.
Are they cosplaying Kirito and Asuna now? Kirito and yeah.
My friend's a little too poor for that anyway.
I met a friend from high school anime expo, and he was like super into Sword Art Online, and went to the like interview panel, and I asked him, "Well, what kind of questions do they ask?" And he said, "Somebody asked what color Sunon's panties are."
Are you kidding me?
And we're both like, well, that pretty much sums up the type of people watch Sora Online.
Didn't they?
He was at least fully aware of how terrible it was.
Right.
Yeah.
I never did. I never finished season 2, which probably.
You never found out what color Sion's panties were.
Yeah.
How can you live with yourself?
Well, I guess they go into like the other half of the season is all about Asuna.
Oh, that's
doing
right.
Something, I don't
that's
know.
That's supposed to be pretty good, or so I've been told from people who like Sora Online. So,
which doesn't
pretty
really
good.
Account to much.
Pretty good on Sora Online scale means eh.
I doubt that can make up for the entire season that she was literally put in a cage.
Right.
that's the arc where the girl has AIDS.
It wasn't
literal
even...
Literal AIDS.
Oh, Ryan, doesn't she like die in the game or something like that?
Yeah.
Wait, she has. Wait, what
not
is that? Is
not
that
with
her
family? She dies in the game, like with everyone around her from the game.
Yeah,
she gets like video game AIDS,
no,
but
like,
not really.
No,
autoimmune deficiency syndrome.
Yeah, it's not even like cyber AIDS. It's just AIDS.
Yeah,
like in real life.
In real life.
Yeah. Yeah,
what I'm
okay.
saying is
she's
that
like part
instead
of
spending time with her family before she dies, she went on a video game.
Yeah, she might have been an orphan or something. I don't know.
Wow.
It's gotta be someone.
Sword Art Online's dumb, but
yeah.
Teens probably like it. Show it to them.
Yeah, you got the action is pretty cool. I'll give them that. And the very basic puppy puppy love romance
I just don't know how you can enjoy a show where there's no conflicts. Like, Kirito's always the greatest. He's always going to win. And if he doesn't win, it's because someone cheated. And even if someone wins because they cheated, they never actually win, like, all the way.
Because he can just cheat back. And...
Yeah.
Goku wins every time also. So.
No. Goku dies.
Goku, he loses
while winning at the same time.
Goku dies twice. Well, okay, he dies the first time winning.
The first one, it's to kill Raditz, and the second time...
He dies at Goku least twice.
Or Gohan.
Well, no, he brings him to...
Kai Planet.
Yeah, Kai Planet, and then he dies, and then Gohan has to fight him alone, doesn't he?
Yeah, but, like, pisses off Gohan.
I don't know, I'm just saying.
To use the pain of loss to power his Kamehameha.
Yeah. I mean... I'm just saying, it's not like he's winning every fight without, like, trying, you know?
And that is still...
he struggles.
Still the best shonen show. I don't even care. All right, let's wrap this thing up. So,
yeah.
To recap, Iroh, what are you recommending? Gurren Lagann, Haruhi.
Gurren Lagann. Probably, yeah, Gurren Lagann. Stick
and,
with that.
Marlon, you're,
Yeah, saying... I'd say change, Cowboy Bebop to Durarara, because might as well update people to what's, like, the new cool thing. And then, I'm still gonna say Ozmangadayo. Because, like, there are a bunch of people that I got hooked onto anime because of Ozmangadayo.
Oh, man, I guess Durarara has all the, like, references to other anime. So it'll be like, what's with that standout of a wolf?
Oh, yes.
I should check that out.
Did I tell you about how apparently Spice and Wolf awakened something deep and wrong in one of my friends?
I don't know if we want to go there.
No.
And it's probably, we can probably really put together the rest from
yes.
there. But, okay, well, I mean, those are,
became
I think.
Became an economist.
Yes.
Became an economist. That is not where my mind went.
Became Scrooge McDuck.
I think it's time to pull the plug on this one. No, I agree. Those are good recommendations. And, Yeah,
I would say as a parting words, for anyone who wants to really get into anime, they need to go online and find a group like we did. Because I definitely did not get into anime the way I did until, you know, I met you guys and we started watching stuff together. And it felt like something more than just, you know, watching stuff on a screen.
Yeah, quit being a dumb loner who likes to go online.
Yeah, I have to agree in that having other people to discuss it with definitely makes it much more appealing. I mean, part of, you know, why I wanted to start the blog was just being able to talk about shows and share that with other people. So definitely. Yeah.
We've never done this. We've never seen Love Lab.
That's our thing. No blogs. Don't step on our game.
How about Love Lab? That'd be a good one.
Eh, oh man, Love Lab.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's a little weird. It's a little out there.
A little too cutesy.
Well, jokes require you to know what the jokes are.
Yeah. Well, I guess ultimately it depends on who you're trying to introduce it to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Some people might find comedy or romance more appealing. Other people might find the action more appealing. So basically we've concluded nothing.
I have a conclusion. Anime was a mistake.
Anime was a mistake. Yes.
Yeah. I guess if you want to get him into manga, Yotsuba. I don't think there's anything better than that.
Biscuit Hammer.
I'm sorry, Iroh. Biscuit Hammer's not better than Yotsuba.
The real answer is you should have them watch the Biscuit Hammer anime.
Oh, yes.
Because that will just never happen, and you can save them the trouble.
All right.
All right, any final parting words?
I think I've said my piece.
We've made our peace. All right, well, thanks for joining me again, guys. We'll try and hopefully rotate this topic around throughout
whenever we can rope anybody else into this
whenever we do these podcasts. Stupid podcasts, yes. So Yeah, thanks again, guys, and we'll catch everybody later.
Bye.